Okay, well, already Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze. Oh, like I need the money. Parshas Vayetze. I'm a rabbi. No, no rabbis need money. Parshas Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava. Vayelech Charana. Yeah.
Super deals.
This is garbage. No.
Super Hanukkah deals at Walmart. Wow.
Right, garbage.
Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava. Vayelech Charana. So Vayelech Charana. There's a lot of extra letters here. You don't have to say and he went to Haran. We know he went. All you have to say is Le Haran. So there's extra letters here. There's no reason to say Vayelech Charana. You have extra letters. So what's up with the extra letters? Why do we have these extra letters? So there is a no. There is a gra. There's a gra. The gra says the following. The gra used to. I should say, really, it's from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he said that when the Gra would say goodbye to a person right before he would go on a trip, he would say the following. He'd say, Yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. If you have an individual and a multitude of people, you hold like the multitude of people. If the Rabbanan hold one way and Rabbi Akiva holds the other, you go with the Rabbanan. And you always go with the Rabbanan. So the simple reason as to why he did that, they asked the Gra, and the reason why he would say over that is because he said, you're not supposed to go away from a person without a dvar halacha. When a person, you know, leaves you and is going on a trip, you're supposed to give him a dvar halacha to think about as he's going on his trip. So the quickest, easiest dvar halacha is yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. Says Rechai Velazhin, that's not pshat. The Gro was a bit of a makobel. And he knew these types of things. And he knew that there's a certain shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I was doing this board. I wrote this up on the van on the way to Toronto. So I felt very good doing this whole thing, you know, on this while I was traveling. But by the way, there's a certain shame that you use for traveling. And that while you travel, you won't have to worry about certain bad things happening. That shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yud Vav Hei Chaf. It's called Yuhach. Yuhach. That shame is used when it comes to, yes, it's not like saying Hashem's name is in Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, or Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, or anything like that. It's a different type of a name, but it's known as Yuhach. This shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud, Vav, Hei, Chaf, is a name that's mentioned not only by the Mekubalim, it's mentioned by the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham in Or HaChaim quotes by Hilchos Pesach that we dip out of our cup how many times in Pesach night? Not just four. 10 for the Aseret Dibros, 3, 4, Dam Ba'esh V'Simro Sashon, and then 3, 4, Tetzach Adash V'Achav. So how many altogether? 16, right? So Yud Vav Hach. Yud Vav is the 16. Hach is hit down in the bottom. Says the Magen Avraham, this is not like a Makobol, this is the Magen Avraham, he's a Halacha Sefer. That's the reason why we dip 16 times, because of the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that helped them when they were going in the Midbar, when they were walking inside the desert. The shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that protected them while they were traveling. So, here's the crazy part. The Gro, we tell them, Yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. What's the first letters of each word? Yud.
Hey.
V'rabim vav halacha hey k'rabim is chaf. You have Yud vav hey chaf. You have that shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he would tell over to those people and hinting to them that shame should be with them when they're on their travels, so that nothing should happen to them, nothing crazy will happen to them. That's what it says over there. That's that. Now, Vayelech Charana. You don't think Yaakov knew about this shame? The extra letters that are in this thing. Take off, and Vayelech Charana, take off the Lamed, take off the Ches, take off the Resh, take off the Nun. You come out with Yud, Vav, He, and Chaf.
Wow.
Yud, Vav, He, Chaf. And he said that shame. So while he was traveling, he was able to use the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect him wherever he was going. Why did he need protection? What was he worried about?
Eliphaz.
Of what?
Eliphaz.
Eliphaz is not only, that's more of a physical protection. He needed spiritual protection. And that's what the shame is supposed to do for you, a spiritual protection. From what? From the shadim, from crazy things. Everybody knows the dream. He had this crazy dream, right? And he saw Sulam. Saw a ladder. Saw a ladder. The ladder happens to be Samach Lamed Mem, are three of the four letters that are used in the name of our good friend, the Satan, who's known as, don't say the full name, Sama plus El at the very end, right? So we have Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. It's only off by the Aleph, and we all know that you're allowed to be one off on these boards, and there's a reason why, but we're not going to go into that right now. I hate it when people say, it's not a real gematria. It is. You got to know what gematria is in order to say that it's not a real gematria. There's a whole balaturim as to why it has to be one off. But Sam is the Sulam itself. The Sulam is
the... What happens to the same name?
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. Talmud Chacham says you shouldn't say it.
What's the name?
Yeah, if you say it, if you say it when you're randomly walking the street, the Tanya Minhagen, and we Kutin on page 6 or something like that, you shouldn't say it. So the Sam, the Satan himself, is supposed to be the Sulam over here. Yaakov was scared of the Satan. the entire time. And that's why he put these avonim around his head. Everybody asks the same question. It's a famous question. It's such a silly question. He puts rocks around him to save himself from wild animals. Have you ever seen a lion like go up and be like, whoa, there's a rock there? That doesn't happen. You're never going to have a wild animal that goes and sees like a bunch of rocks. Unless there are massive rocks. There's like mountains all around him. And then it's already like, they're going to climb down the mountain. It's just like, it's such a strange thing that he thought to himself. And he didn't surround his entire body. He only surrounded his head. So his entire body is sitting out there. I'm okay if my arm gets eaten off. But my head, I got to leave this thing on. So let's just surround my head with rocks and that's it. The animals will stay away. So they wanted to say that the rocks were going up on top of him and they surrounded him. But there's a simple answer. Tynan Hugham says that the reason why we surround a mace, if you've ever been a pallbearer, there are such pallbearers in Judaism. When a person passes away, you're supposed to surround his bed so that it becomes like there's a circle of people around and you surround him and thus you make it into a reshus hayachid. You make it into a private area instead of an open area. We know that shadim are called shadim because they like to live in
shade.
And sadeh, inside sadehs. They like being in fields and in open areas. So they can't go into private areas. So we surround a dead person so that the shadim won't go anywhere near him. Yaakov surrounded his head with a rock so he wouldn't be affected. Why did he think he was going to be affected? Goes crazy. Yaakov was afraid because he wasn't learning that night. For 14 years, he's by Yeshiva Shem Aver, and he learns every single night. Finally, tonight, he decides not to learn, and he goes to sleep. Why? Why wouldn't he go to sleep that night? Why would he go to sleep that night? Why wouldn't he learn that night? Why wouldn't he learn just like any other night? You know what Pshat is? Tonight was Tisha B'Av. So what? You're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. We know that. But the past 14 years, he's been learning at Tisha B'Av night. Why would he stop right now? You know why? By Yifga Bamakom. He reached the place. The Beis HaMikdash is not a place. The Beis HaMikdash is a har. It's Har Moriah. Why is it called a place? There's only two places where it's called a place. When it says, originally when Avraham Avinu was told to go do the Akedah, he's told, Bahar Asheri Ro'e, on the mountain that I will show you. But then he goes and he says, Elam Makom, that he saw. He saw the Makom that was there. I can't remember the exact pasuk by heart. I haven't slept much. But he went to the Makom. He saw Vayaras HaMakom Mirachok. Very good. Vayaras HaMakom Mirachok. He saw the place from afar. He saw it as a plains. When the Beis HaMikdash is a holy place full of Kedusha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's telling him you're going to have an Akedah there, when there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash there, it's a Har. And it's the highest mountain in the world. The tallest mountain. Has everybody here, have you been to the Kotel? You've seen the Kotel? Mm-hmm. It's not so high. And the wall goes all the way down, almost 150 feet down, to where the top of the mountain is not so high. It's not that high up. It's very, very low. There are mountains all around that are higher. You know what the pshat is? Because once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it becomes a makom. The mountain goes down and becomes a regular makom. When Yitzchak was going to be shechted and Avram saw it, he saw it as a makom because he thought something bad was going to happen there. Afterward, over here, Vayivka b'makom, when he saw it, when Yaakov saw it as a makom, he realized there's no Beis HaMikdash. That means the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. When? That night on Tisha B'Av. So that night he went and he did a minhag that we do nowadays. You know how we sleep? We take off a pillow? So we all know that Yaakov went down and he put a rock under his head. Guys, suggestion. I don't know if anybody's going to do this if you're into camping or anything, but if you're going to lie down on something, don't use a rock. Yeah. That's not a good thing. You sleep on top of a... Like, I need a pillow. So I'll take this hard is rock. I'll take this massive hard rock and I'll put it under my head. I'll be comfortable. It'll sit in the nape of my neck. I'll be fine. What was he thinking? Why in the world would you take a rock? Because you wanted to be uncomfortable. Akrekach, there is a minhag nowadays that you use a rock. You put a rock under your pillow on Tisha B'Av night. At Tisha B'Av night, you have that rock, you put it under your pillow, and you sleep on it. Or if you don't sleep with a pillow, some people just sleep whatever. They put it there, and they sleep on it so that they feel uncomfortable from Yaakov Avinu, because he did it on that night. On this night when he wasn't able to learn. I'm sorry?
Did they use like a flat rock?
No, he used big rocks. Big rock, round. But either way, on this night where he wasn't able to learn, now all of a sudden he's afraid. Now the Satan's going to be able to get a hold of me. Now I'm going to have crazy bad thoughts. Now, because I'm not learning, bad things are going to happen to me. The Shade and the Mazikin are going to be able to get a hold of me. So that's why he all of a sudden put rocks around his head. So he wouldn't interrupt his sleep through the Shade and the Mazikin wouldn't get a hold of him. He's afraid of the Satan. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him a Sulam, the ladder, the Satan himself going up to Shemayim. Rosho Magia Shemaimo. You're right that his legs, the legs of the ladder, are down on earth. Barosho Magia Shemaima. It's Sua Mutzavarta. The Satan is based on earth. But don't worry, because everything's totally on what goes on up there. Don't think that the Satan can do anything without me doing it. The Satan thinks he's doing crazy things. Well, really, it's God behind the scene going like, I know. I'm gonna go ahead and I'll take care of everything the Satan did. As we saw that the Satan was able to make sure that everything happened correctly when the Satan convinced Uriel to tell him to go do the other thing. Everything happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. There's Metat, there's Michal, there's Gabriel, there's Malachim. Olin B'Yordimbo, there's Malachim taking care of the Satan. Everything will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about anything. That's why he used that name of Yuha, to make sure that on his travels, he wasn't going to have to worry about any problems, knowing that it was going to be a big problem. Now, all right, that's the basic idea.
Yudvav?
Yeah.
16. There's 16 dips.
So there's 16.
There's all different things. Oh, we could go into, just understand it as there's Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Each letter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name stands for a different place and a different type of world. There's Yud, there's Hey, there's Vav and Hey. So the Yud and the Vav stand for two different types of worlds that he's referring to that Hach should be knocked down. What is that? I have absolutely no idea. When I'm 40 years old, and you guys are all 40, when I'm 40, let's say 48, 49, you guys are all 40, we'll get together, we'll have a big party at my house, and we'll have like chalent and everything, and we'll learn Kabbalah, we'll turn into a fire, and we'll go up to Shemayim together. It'll all be good. Either way, so that's there. That's there.
If you used Mark Yuhach, Harden, why did you need the stones?
Jeremy. What?
If you used Jeremy. The name of Yuhach,
why did you need the stones? You still need everything. You use every protection you can possibly get. Now, guys, this is a huge thing also. Remember we spoke about the different Torahs of Avraham Avinu's Torah and Shem Be'Aver's Torah?
Yes.
We spoke about that before. Think about this for a second. Yaakov Avinu is 63 years old and still living at home. So his parents are like, you know, maybe it's time for you to leave. I think, you know, you're still living in the same room with the clown wallpaper, you know. It's time. I think it's time for you to get out. 63 years old. So he decides, okay, I'm going to go get married. And spends 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver. It's not like a Shana Bet in Israel. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is 14 years. This is like, by the time you get to 14, this is, what in the world? What do you think he was doing for 63 years? He's 77 when he's done with all this. He's 77 when he's ready to get married. What is going on here that he spends this much time sitting there, and what's he doing? The answer is, he's going to love him. Lovin is not the normal type of person that you want to go to. Lovin is the type of person that he sits there and he can fool you, and he's living among Goyim for the rest of his life. He sits there. Lovin, how old was he? Could have been 200 years old. According to the Gemara in, what's it called, in Sanhedrin, he only lived to 36. So how is that possible? Good question. No idea. Maybe Lovin, it's very hard to understand. Regardless. I'm sorry?
Yeah, but it says
it's his daughter. There's problems with it. Let's not go into that whole thing. Regardless. What's the whole point of this Torah? The Emes Liyakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that was the whole point. He knew the Torah of Avraham Avinu, but he only knew the Torah of how to keep 613 mitzvot while he's sitting in a base medrash, while he's sitting in Skokie Yeshiva, and then he's able to keep the Torah. But go work at Crown Theaters and try to keep the Torah there. Then try to keep it. See what you can do over there. For that, you can't use. And I've had this problem for years, and I still don't know what to do about it, and I've been trying to do something about it for years already. Why in the world, in every yeshiva, we teach Gemara, Rishonim, Tosfos, Rashi, Tosfos, Rishonim, everything. We teach Chumash, and if it's seminary-like, we teach Navi also. You know, so we teach you all those things. You sit there and you get all those things out. Yes. So anyway, so you teach all those things. But all of a sudden, you don't know anything about what to do in the real world. You go out into business, which 90% of the people that go to yeshiva do, and you have no clue how to deal with things in life. Why in the world don't they teach things of Chosha Mishpat while you're younger, while you're still in yeshiva, while you can still do this sort of stuff? I have absolutely no idea why it hasn't started. I have no idea why they don't do such things. It should be done that way. But obviously the whole shot is that the way it's supposed to be is that the Torah can really affect you. And the Torah can turn you around in and of itself, Avram's Torah. But Yaakov Avinu didn't hold that way, according to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He held there's a separate Torah. He couldn't use Avram Avinu's Torah where he was going to be. So instead, he went out and he learned a brand new Torah. It took him 14 years to learn up that new Torah and to be an expert at it. And by the way, you don't think Esav, if you're Esav, and you're like, okay, Yaakov ran away, I'm going to go search for him. Where's the first place you're going to look? Shiva Shem Be'Aver? Wouldn't that be the first place you'd look? So you didn't think, like, one day he, like, walks in and he's just like, hey, Yaakov's over there.
Actually, I would experience something because he's been living there forever.
He's been living there for 63 years. So he's sent away. The first place you would look would be in the base
with his toys.
Why in the world would Yaakov go there, and how was he not caught? This guy's just a famous.
Wasn't he killed for 63?
He couldn't what?
Couldn't find him.
Perfect. Perfect. He couldn't find him. You know why? Because this story. This story affected me so much. I learned this like 5 years ago. And I like, honestly, this is one of my favorite stories. It's a crazy story. I happen to love the Chassam Sofer. I love the Chassam Sofer. I think he's an unbelievable person. When he was very, very young, at the age of 9 or 10, he went off to learn by Rav Nosson Adler. Rav Nosson Adler was a big yeshiva, was a smaller yeshiva, but he was a makobel and a famous guy, whatever it was. And the Chassam Sofer learned everything that he could get out of Rav Nosson Adler up until the age of like 15, and then he went down to a real yeshiva. And then he became, obviously, the Chassam Sofer, he became obviously tremendous. But he learned by Rav Nosson Adler for quite a while. One time, there was a time where Hungary was in a war with other lands, and they needed all the silver. So they made an announcement, anybody who has any silver, give it into the government. Rav Nosson Adler had a Sefer Torah that was crowned with a crown of silver and had a mantle of silver. So he didn't tell the government about it. He wanted to keep it on the Sefer Torah. He didn't want to use it for guns and anything else metal that they might need. So one of the Jews told on him. One of the Jews was a Moser, went to the government and told him. Right before the government officers came, a Jew ran into the building and told Rav Nosson Adler, the government is coming right now to take away your silver. Quickly, they're going to get you in trouble. So the Rav Nosson Adler yelled at the Chassam Sofer. He told the Chassam Sofer, go run, take the Sefer Torah, cover yourself with a talus, and stand by the bima. And only think Torah thoughts. Only think Torah thoughts. So he went and stood by the bima and everything. The government officers came in, tore the Sfarim off the shelves, knocked down bookshelves and everything, like opened up everywhere to go find the silver, you know, caused mayhem and everything. The Chassam Sofer is standing there on the bima. Standing there on the bima. And eventually, after 10 minutes of searching and everything, they left. They went outside. So what's the shot? So Rav Nosson Adler said, they said, Rav Nosson Adler, he did Kabbalah, he made him disappear and everything, he made him not seen. Rav Nosson Adler said, no, you don't understand. Goyim cannot understand the concept of a Jewish person learning. They can't understand that concept. I heard that in YU it happened a couple years ago that priests came to go check out the Chavrusa learning style, to go see what it's like to learn B'Chavrusa, because they don't have such a concept. They don't understand what it's like to learn B'Chavrusa with another guy, to argue with another guy, and to bring it out and to come out with a pshat. They don't have that. They just sit there and they study. It's not like that by them. Goyim can't understand it. So when they see it, they see right through him. They see him as if he's not there. They ignored him completely. It was not Mekobel. It was not a Kabbalistic thing, says Rav Nosson Adler. He just wasn't seen because they didn't want to see him. I have a proof. This is famous. It's written by... Oh, man, I can't remember what the island was. It's somewhere near India, Sri Lanka. It's somewhere near there. I forgot what the island was. But the people of the island had never seen electricity. They'd never seen anything. So these guys who came to the island with like computers and everything like that, they thought they were tremendous magicians because they couldn't fathom the fact that you could make such things with your own hands. They couldn't fathom it. So they looked at this stuff and they're like, oh, you guys are crazy magicians. Like, oh, a tape recorder? It's a crazy magician. And they're telling them, like, no, it's just machinery. I can't do anything. It's just machinery that works. So they showed it. They said they couldn't believe it. At one point, they had no idea. The guy wanted to point out, one of the guys that was there, pointed out to the middle of the sea where there were huge ships going by, like battleships that were going by from one land to another. They pointed it out to them and they told the villagers, check it out, you see, like we can make things like that. Look at those ships over there. The people couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. They're sitting there like, what ships? The ships were right there, in view of everybody. It's not like these guys needed glasses. They sit there, it's right over there. They couldn't see it. Why? Because it was so beyond their comprehension, he couldn't understand, he couldn't fathom it. Esav, at this point, became such a Rasha, he could not see Yaakov because Yaakov became a pure Ovid Hashem who just sat there and learned for 14 years straight without even sleeping. It was an abnormal person. That Esav Kilu looked straight through. He still went there for Shabbos. He probably learned his, you know, he had his Kavua Seder like for an hour a day where he learned with Yitzchak, his father, you know. And he went there for some Chastorah and everything. And Yaakov was sitting right there. He got an Aliyah and Esav was like, who? Yaakov ben Yitzchak. I've heard of this guy before. And he saw nobody up there. That's what it was like. He was there, but he couldn't see him.
That was head was full of Tahor. That's when he got, when he married Machpelah, when he rolled over.
Esav's head wasn't full of Tahara. He had good intentions. He had good intentions, but Lamaisa, he wasn't able to see the right things. He wasn't able to do the right things. That's a totally different story. Did Rabbi Shechter happen to tell you guys, Anochi lo yadati da'achein, yishem b'makwazeh? It's my board. It's not him. It's my board. Yeah, he told it? Forget it. I'm not going to say it. Forget it. Okay. No, it's not. Listen, I have much better boards. I have much, much better boards. All right, guys. Let's go into, how can you marry sisters? How can you marry sisters? How is that possible? I have 12 answers to this question. I'm going to give you guys 9. Number one, the Ramban. Ramban says Chutz La'aretz. That when you live in Chutz La'aretz, you don't need to keep all 613 mitzvos. Which is extremely strange. What does that mean? For us nowadays, we don't have to keep 613 mitzvos? So listen to this. Yaakov Avinu didn't keep any Durabanans, in which the reason for the Durabanan was that people would be fooled. In other words, there are certain Durabanans. For example, you can't take medicine on Shabbos. Why not? Because people might come to make medicine. That type of a gezeira was only made because there were amiratim around, there were people who were idiots around, who ended up saying, oh, you can drink medicine, you must be able to make it. There were idiots who started killing everything. And even nowadays, there are shitos that say that you can do it nowadays, because we don't have that problem anymore. Nobody is sitting there taking an Advil and being like, all right, time for me to make some. Taking the leaves and starting to make it in his house. So there are such opinions that it's okay nowadays, although we don't hold to those opinions. But there are such things.
No, I take medicine.
You know what the pshat is? The Ramban says, outside in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have to keep the Torah. Because the whole reason why we keep the Torah in Chutz La'aretz, the whole reason, says the Meshech Chachma, is to remind us of the mitzvos, that we come to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Mashiach, we won't be totally off. There's no chiyuv midyo raisa, says the Meshech Chachma, to keep mitzvos outside of Eretz Yisrael nowadays. Says the Meshech Chachma, it's his opinion. If that's true, Yaakov Avinu, and Yitzchak Avinu, and Avram Avinu, they didn't have to worry about that. Because why? Because they're afraid that when they go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to forget the Torah. Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avram didn't have to worry about that. So because of that, when they were outside of Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have to keep the Torah. They didn't have to keep certain things if it wasn't right for them. And over here, he wanted to marry Rachel and Leah, it wasn't right for them, he didn't have to keep it. That's a very hard shot. We obviously don't hold that way, but that's his shot over there. Okay, the Rishonim all say, Ger Shinis Gair Kikatan Shino Adami. If you have a Ger that gets married, in other words, you can have two sisters. If they became Giorsim, you can marry both of them. I mean, not nowadays, because you're not Sephardi. But anybody here who's Sephardi would be able to marry both of them.
Can I become Sephardi?
No. You don't want to become Sephardi. Again, so the same board will apply that Midrabanan you're not allowed to because people will get fooled. So that doesn't apply because nobody was going to get fooled. Since Gershon's Gary Kikatan Shinola dummy. Number three, the Panach Raza. All the Rishonim said that one. The Panach Raza said all four of them were from different mothers. By Goyim, you don't go by the husband. They're not sisters from the father. There's no such thing as sisters from the father, because you never assume that the father was with his wife. You always assume that the mother slept around, because by Goyim, you can't assume that it's that way. Thus, when it's all different mothers, all four of them are not sisters with one another. They're not related at all, and he's able to marry all four of them. That's number three. Number four, we have an Orach Chaim and Lubavitcher Rebbe. I believe the Orach Chaim said it. I think Lubavitcher Rebbe is just quoting it, but it was quoted down by Lubavitcher Rebbe. I was on the Lubavitcher show yesterday. He said it like this. If you made a neder, a ben Noach must